Well, praise God.
So, Miss Dixie, where do you have your sign-up sheet?
They're going around.
Okay. Yeah, you guys got to remember, you guys are VIPs. You're very important people. And y'all have an ability to change a kid's life. Maybe with your smile, it may be with your handshake, it may be with your cookies. Are we serving cookies? Your fruit? Yeah, last thing you want to do is give a whole bunch of kids sugar and then have vacation Bible school, you know. So, but anyway, how are all the VIPs doing this morning? Huh? If this is your first time here, hadn't been here in a while or missed it, man, you are VIPs. You're very important people. You're very important people because you're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. You're so important that God sent his son, Jesus, down to this earth to save you, to wash you in your blood, to cleanse you of your sins, so that your heavenly father could have fellowship with you. Now, I think that's pretty important. Hello? I think God loved you so much that he calls you sons of God. He loved you so much that he considers you VIPs. Now, I've told y'all this, but I was thinking about it. I was actually talking to Brother Ivan last night, and he was wanting to know what I was preaching. And I was telling him about the VIP message and got all excited about it again, just thinking about the whole concept of understanding your VIPs. Christians are walking around on this earth. You have power that is given to you by the promises of God, but 90% of the Christians are not walking in it. They're just living their lives thinking that we're just like every other common person on the face of the earth. And that's not what God intended. This whole message started out by getting to go to the rodeo. Went to the rodeo, was given some rodeo tickets. I didn't look at the tickets. I didn't look at the seats. I was just glad I had free seats going to the rodeo. I knew they were good seats. Everybody told me that they were good seats, but I didn't really know. I didn't really look at the ticket. We got to the ticket, got to the place, got trying to figure out where we were going, and walked up these stairs, and we're looking there because I, you know, didn't really pay much attention. And this lady was standing in front of me because the VIP section was in this one area and she was guarding the gate, you know, not letting anybody slip in there and get a chair that wasn't a VIP. And so I went up there and I handed her my ticket. She could see the look on her face as I walked up. She looked at me. She may have just been the sweetest, nicest person on the face of the earth. But the look she gave me when I walked up there was, "You don't look like somebody that would be in the VIP section." So I kind of felt like she kind of stood in front of the gate like this. "Yes, sir, may I see your ticket?" And so I said, "Yeah, I'm not sure where my seats are." And I stuck the ticket out and handed it to her. And she looks at me and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. This is your seat down here." I mean, tone changed, everything changed. Man, I walk into the VIP section. Man, I've got everything. Everybody's jumping and hopping. And I'm like, Spirit of God speaks to me right there sitting in the middle of the rodeo and says, "That's what Christians are doing. I've given them great and great promises. I've given them great blessings, but they're not walking it because they don't know that they belong in the VIP section. They don't know that they're supposed to be living here with me. And so they're missing the blessings. They're missing all that I could do for them. They're missing everything I do because they don't believe they belong in the VIP section." And he said, "Go tell them." And then that's how this whole message got started. Because I'm telling you, church, you're VIPs. You're very important people. You're people, the sons and daughters of God walking on the face of this earth. I'm telling you, when God looks down from heaven upon this area and region that we live in, and he's looking for people to do his will, he's looking at y'all. God knows you. He knows your name. He knows what's going on. He knows everything about you. And he sees the great potential in you. He sees great potential in you. It's in all of you. Listen to me. There's great potential in all of you. Listen, I do not care what your IQ is, because that doesn't make you a VIP. What makes you a VIP is a revelation of who you are. And I want to get into that this morning. But if you know who you are in God, there's nothing in the world that can stop you. All right? So, this morning I'm going to be preaching about one of the powers that God gives you. And first you may hear this and you may think, well, that's kind of strange. But it's the power to serve. Listen to me. In servanthood is where you find all the blessings of God. In servanthood is where you find the fulfillment of your life. And being a servant to God and waiting on Him and doing His bidding and doing His will is where you find that you're satisfied and your life becomes fulfilled. I told you at the beginning of this message that I see all of y'all in one of three categories. Okay? You either are in the category where, and there's no first, second, third, there's no better than this. It's like Lex gave a great talk on to the men's meeting, and he was talking about his experience as a fighter pilot, and he had this great picture that he ended on where a fighter plane was coming up, and it was getting refueled by this giant tanker, and the arm was coming out of the back of the tanker, and here's this great big plane with this arm coming out with this fighter underneath it. And I was thinking, wow, that is so amazing. I mean, you know, he talked about all the training he had to do as a fighter pilot and all this, and I was thinking about, wow, isn't that amazing? That plane is so equipped with all the biggest, baddest weapons on it. It can just fly, and it can do all kinds of things and just do unbelievable, you know, maneuvers, and it's, you know, all this. But if that big plane wasn't there with that, you know, fuel hose coming out the back of it, he's going to crash and burn. So it almost makes it seem like the guy flying the tanker's job is really high up on the list because the fighter can't fight if he doesn't have any fuel. Well, in the body of Christ, it's the same way. I can't do what I do unless you do what you do. I was laughing, telling Jake just a minute ago, I had a nightmare last night. I woke up, man, and, you know, about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I dreamed this dream, and it was vivid. I would almost say it was a God dream. I hope it's not. Well, part of it could be, but whatever. But I dream I'm in this giant auditorium, and it's like a theater kind of thing, because it kind of goes up, and there's just thousands of people, and it's church, and I know I'm getting ready to preach, and I'm sitting over on the side in some chairs, and the praise and worship's about to start, and my wife is there, and so there's just all these people everywhere. And I noticed the cameras are set up all over the building. There's like 8 cameras set up all over the building to be televised. And so I'm just sitting there waiting to, you know, be my turn to go do my job. And Jake comes up to me and says, I don't know what to do. He said, everybody that's supposed to be running a camera, none of them showed up to church. And I'm like, what? And he says, we can't run the cameras if we don't have the people. And I'm like, well, where are they? What are they doing? How could they just, all of them, not show up on the same Sunday? And I was freaking out. My wife comes over and she says, it'll be okay. Just don't televise this. And I said, no, we're going to televise this thing. Find somebody to get behind the cameras. See, it wouldn't do any good because I had to have people to do it, to make it work. And I believe that was God kind of speaking to me about the whole message. But I woke up, you're like, ugh. Because we all have to do our part. Well, you fall into one of three categories. Either you're a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night person that's going to help during praise and worship. You're going to help being an usher. You're going to help doing whatever, something around here to keep the church building going. Or you're and this is not, like I said, there's no first, second, third. Or you fall in the second category. It's where you just know people and you can bring people to church. You just have a lot of friends. You're just a friendly person. People like you. They like to ride in the car with you. See, nobody likes to ride in the car with me because I don't talk. The only person that likes to ride in the car with me is Dwayne because he don't talk either. So we get along great. We just sit there and don't say anything for hours as we just tear up the road and are just happy that we got accomplished to the distance we wanted to get to that day. And that's the end of our satisfaction. But some of y'all are really friendly, and people like you, and they want to. You've got all kinds of friends, and you can say, "Hey, come on, let's go to church," and they'll just crawl in the car with you and go to church. So your job in the body of Christ is just to get people to church, man. That's great. Okay, and then the third part of this overall look at thing is that you're called to help people, disciple people, pray for people. To help people to know more about Jesus, to help them grow in their growth walk with Christ. And so you're one of the people that are, you know, you're the kind of the encourager. You're the one that can call people up on the phone and when they're not, hadn't seen them in a while, or you hear they're sick, and you're an encourager, and you're going to go, and then you could, you know, it branches out into all of it. But it's one of those three deals. You all are. Every one of you have gifts in you to accomplish those three purposes that make up the whole body of Christ. But if we don't do them and we don't function in them, which is what I want to talk about today, we don't function in the power to serve, you find yourself in a void. You find yourself in a place where no matter how much stimulation that the world gives you, you don't feel satisfied. How many of you have ever eaten a meal and after it was over with, you still wanted something else? There are certain foods that I can eat and I'll eat them, and as soon as the last bite goes in there, I'm hungry for something else. Doesn't make sense. Hello? Okay, it's just like that. If you're not serving Jesus and you're not walking in His will, and you're off in your course in life, you're going to be doing all the things that you could possibly do. You're going to be spinning all of your wheels, but the problem is you're never really going to feel satisfied on the inside. You're going to always feel like there's something else. You're going to feel a little lost. You're going to feel a little, you know, out there. Okay? So let me go to a scripture and let me help you here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. I want to help you this morning to understand what you have to do to become, to walk in the power of servanthood as a VIP. Everybody say it sounds like fun. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Wow. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare come on, Rob. And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" This scripture is a mind blower, because Jesus is saying that there are people that are doing, if you let me use this phrase, Christian things, but they don't even know who Jesus is. Y'all with me? They're going through the motion, going through the works, but they don't even have a relationship with Jesus. They don't even know who he is. And he says, those people, he says, "Get away from me. I don't want to talk to you." That's my paraphrase, but are y'all following me here? So I don't know, but that when I read that, I want to make sure that I'm doing the will of God. Hello? I want to make sure that I'm doing God's will. I'm following His will. I'm doing what He wants me to do for Him on this earth. I'm being the best servant that I can be for Him. Now, I know I fall short. I know I spill a glass every now and then. Because when I hear it, think about servanthood, the people that we're around that we can relate to, mostly servants are waitresses or waiters. They're serving us, right? I can spill a glass every now and then. I can drop a plate. I can get an order wrong every now and then. Can't we all? But I want to strive in my life to be the best servant I can be, or the best waiter I can be, doing what God wants me to do. Amen? I remember years ago, we went to a restaurant. This is a long time ago. And we had Pastor Randy and Lucy with us, and they wanted to go out and eat, so we took them to this restaurant. And man, I didn't realize it changed hands, and management was really bad. And the waitress comes out bringing us our drinks, and she has her fingers stuck in the four glasses, holding the four glasses from her fingers, and sets them down. That was the first key. Is like, besides the cockroach then that we found in the tea at that moment, you know. And so she said, "Well, do you want me to get you another glass?" And everybody thought, "Wait a minute, where did it come from? Because was it in the glass to start with, or was it in the tea? Does that mean everybody had cockroach tea or whatever?" And anyway, it was a bad experience, needless to say. How could you trust to eat anything in there when you start out that way, right? Well, it's like that with Jesus. I don't want to be that kind of servant. I don't want to be that kind of waiter or waitress, you know, in the restaurant of life, just serving people like that. Hello? The best servants in life are those who love their work and love the one who they work for. Now, I have to tell y'all this morning, I love to preach. I love to preach. I'm excited about it, but I worry all Saturday. Saturday is always a terrible day because I worry that I've got the right message. It's a fretful thing for me to get up here to this place. But once I'm in here and I'm in the groove, man, I love it. I love to preach. I love to tell y'all the word of God. I love to help people. I love to encourage people. I love to know that somebody's going to watch this message or hear this message and it's going to change their life. It blesses me because it's what God called me to do. My mother told me in life that when I was a child, I never shut up. She said, you should talk more than any kid I've ever seen in life. Well, God was preparing me from the time I came out of my womb to be here today. But what I'm saying is that when I'm serving, it's fulfilling. Okay? Well, it's because I want to serve Jesus, not because I want something from him. It's because I'm trying to pay back in my way of thinking. I'm trying to pay back what he's done for me. I just want to be obedient to him because I want to please him because he's done so much for me. He saved me. Hello? I know I'm not headed to hell, and I am so glad. And I want to be the best servant I can be. Now, that should be the attitude of all of us. All right? In whatever capacity you're serving, because every day, listen, whether you realize it or not, every day you have a job to do for the master. Somewhere there's going to be a handshake. Somewhere there's going to be a smile. It may be an encouragement. It may be saying to somebody, hey, well, things don't look as bad as are. Or it may be have an answer for somebody. I don't know. But every day when you're going out, people you're around, those are the people who God has called you to minister to. And the ones you see that day is who your ministry field is. All right? So if you love to be a servant and you love the one you're serving, well, folks, listen, things get easy. Now, all of us have been to a restaurant and had bad waitresses, right? Or waiters. I don't want to throw it all on the woman. I wrote down a few. You know, you go to the restaurant and you get grumpy as your waiter or waitress, right? You can tell they don't want to be there. It makes me just realize I don't even want to say if the food order comes out, if I ordered a cheeseburger and I got a club sandwich, I'm not going to say anything because if she takes it back in there, I'm pretty sure she's going to spit in it and bring it back to me. You got grumpy. Y'all with me? Y'all all been there. Okay, and then you've got the one that really irritates me more than grumpy is the brainy. The one that's just knows it all, keeps putting their finger over on my menu, pointing things out, telling me things, showing me this, telling me, tells me too much information. I don't want to know. I want to just read the menu. Just leave me alone. Dude, you just be quiet and just stand there, and I'll tell you in a minute what I want. I don't like that person. It just drives me nuts, okay? Then you've got sleazy, you know. When they come out, they're dirty. They're, you know, you can just think if you walk around looking like that, my God, what does the kitchen look like? Hello? And then you've got clueless. Have y'all ever had clueless where, you know, they're just out, man, watching butterflies or something in their brain. You know, they could care less. You say, well, you'd like this, and they say, oh, well, what was that now, you know? You know, they're just clueless, okay? Well, I don't want to be that way as a Christian. Hello? I don't want to be that type of waiter or waitress. I want to be a servant that Jesus is pleased in, all right? So the whole key here is that every day when you wake up and you get to go out to do your ministry field, because every one of you in the ministry, and just for preachers, every one of you is in the ministry. Every one of you that day, who you're around, who you're going to see, what you're going to do, what thoughts you may have about doing something for somebody else, all of those are God speaking to you to be his hands and his mouthpiece and his feet that day. All right? And I want to tell you this morning that the moment that you embrace this, the power of being a servant, the devil's going to step up and say, oh, wait a minute, I don't want them to be a happy servant. I want them to be a grumpy servant. There's nothing to me more painful than a person coming up to me and telling me how ugly a Christian acted. You know? Because then what? I mean, you know, just... what do you say? I just say, well, there's a stupid person born every minute. I don't know what to tell you. I don't even make excuses for them anymore. Somebody comes up and tells me about a bad preacher or a bad church or something like this. I'm just like, well, I don't know what to tell you, man. Just stupid people everywhere. But the reason why is because the enemy, the devil, has caused them to be a waiter or a waitress in life who is grumpy, sleazy, clueless, brainy. They're just, you know, right? Because they're not a happy servant. So I want to show you how this takes place. So go to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to give you something here today to help you out, so you can walk in this power of servanthood. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, who came to him? Who? The tempter. He said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it's written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again the devil took him into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give to you if you'll fall down and you'll worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, his angels came and ministered to him. Do you see what Jesus said about the devil? He gave him a name. He said, he's the tempter. He's the tempter. Now listen to me, good Christian people. The devil is not a creator. If you disagree with me this morning, you need to go back to your Bible and you need to read. The devil is a created fallen angel. He's not a creator. The devil can't create cancer. This fallen world we live in and the junk we eat and the stuff that goes on in our bodies and the dysfunctionalities of our bodies will cause us to have cancer. But I want to tell you something. The devil doesn't make cancer. He's not a creator. There's only one creator on this earth. That's you. You're created in the image of God. The Bible says your words can move mountains. The Bible says your thoughts create actions that can affect and change this world. Listen to me. There's one creator sitting here, and it's you. Quit giving the devil so much glory. Listen to me. He's a tempter. The Bible says he is a deceiver, says he is a liar, and that he steals from you the promises of God. Now, how does he do it? Well, what did the devil do? He went to Jesus. If you're the Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew who he was. What was the first thing he was doing to Jesus? He was trying to get Jesus to doubt who he was. Because if Jesus doubted who he was, oh, I'm not really the Son of God, then man, we're toast. So he came to him. The first thing the devil does to you every day is try to get you to doubt who you are in Christ. He tries to get you to think that you are just an earthly human being living on this earth till the appointed time of your life, and then you're dying and you're dead. I've always thought that in the book of Revelation, when it talks about that when we're on the other side, that it says, and he'll wipe away our tears, and there'll be no more tears. I've always thought it's got to be the tears that we crack as we see what's in heaven that we didn't believe. I don't know if that's right, but it just always struck me that way when I read that scripture, that when you're really seeing it, I mean, you know, folks, you can understand how good a lemon meringue pie would taste. You can read about it in a book, you can talk about it, but there is something different when you experience it, right? Somebody will say, well, I'm like, well, come on, whatever you like. Chocolate cake. It's one thing to read about it. It's one thing to look at a picture. It's a completely different thing to touch it. It's one thing to talk about heaven. It's one thing to hear me preach about heaven. It's one thing to go out there and study about heaven. But it's going to be a different thing when you step over on the other side and taste what heaven's like. You're going to say, oh, man. And I believe at that moment, we're going to say, oh, God, why didn't I believe him? Because of the limitations of what we, in our minds and what we can think. And so the devil's coming out every day. The tempter is coming out every day and throwing in front of you to try to get you not to believe in who you are. Because if he does, then you're not going to function like you're supposed to function. Are you hearing me? He's going to get up in the morning as soon as you get up, and he's going to be saying, you know, you're an idiot. What's wrong with you? It's a mind game that he's playing with you. Because if he knows it, and that if he can get you to change your thinking to his kind of thinking, that you're defeated. Because all the promises of God all have to do with faith. Listen to me. Every promise of God is activated by faith. Faith is simply trusting and believing God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And if the devil can get you to think he's not, you're defeated. He doesn't have to create anything. He wants you to create it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're the creator. He just wants to get you convinced that you're not who you thought you were, so that then you won't speak the word. Because you're the creator. Y'all all looking at me like I'm crazy. Golly, Moses. Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm being a brother Ivan here. I'm trying to tell them, Lord, and they ain't listening. Simplest little job. Let's just say a simplest little test here. Just go home after church, get in there right about the time, you know, you're going to sit down and eat your Sunday lunch, and just tell your wife it's the worst meal you've ever had. You don't understand why she is such a rotten cook. Just say it. Just go, just test the waters and see what happens. See what kind of mess you create. You're a creator, and you create with your words. You want to see a mess? Go try it. Go study all the scriptures out of it. The Bible says that Jesus bought for you great and precious promises, that he paid the price for them. The promises are going to come about when you, the creator, believe God, the creator, your heavenly father that you're created after, start to walk with him and start to talk like he does and start to speak like he does. Well, then things move. But as long as the devil gets you convinced that you're nothing and it doesn't do any good to pray, it doesn't do any good to read your Bible, doesn't do any good to say any, good words, it doesn't do any good to do these things, well, then you're defeated because you're the one that's creating it. Let me ask you this. How many of you would be bold enough to raise your hand and say, I have created a mess in my life before? We're the creator. We did it. We want to blame the devil. That old devil, he got me. Yeah, he did, because he got you convinced, but you actually did it. He is not a creator. He can't create anything. You're the creator, but he can whisper in your ear. He can tug on your shirt. He can speak to you. He can bring some other person who eats at the feed trough of stupid every morning over to your house to get you to do it. He's been around forever. Listen to me. He was whispering in Pharaoh's ear. He's been whispering in every leader's ear forever. But he whispers in all of our ears. Some Egyptian out there making bricks or whatever. He was the same. He's been around forever. That's what I'm trying to say. He's perfected his ways and means. And all he has to do is hang around you a little bit to figure out what you can be tempted by. I know what my weakness is, and I have to watch it. I'm given to the redneck syndrome. It's like the redneck syndrome spirit at my door. I know I'm tempted to go into that immediately when something goes wrong and whatever, that I think I'm being taken advantage of. The next thing I know, I'm ready to go to war. I'm going to throw somebody out a window, whatever. Oh, my God. And then, you know, I have to stop and say, oh, Jesus, what am I talking about? That is not the way to operate. You've got to stop, you know. Well, that's why he tempts me with that. Because he knows that's my weakness. That's my John Wayne, you know. You know, it's like, you know, I doubt it goes on like this, but I kind of imagine it goes on like this, that the devil calls up, I mean, that the little demon that's trying to harass me that day calls up to the devil and says, hey, it looks like Robert's going to get this done over here. And he said, well, just throw a number 43 at him. And he thought, oh, okay, that'll work. Yeah, I'm sure that one will work. It always works on him. And so then that's the person that's eating at the feed trough of stupid comes over and says something to me, makes me mad and makes me want to turn to violence. Pulled a number 43 on me again. You see what I'm saying? Now, others of you, you may not be tempted that way at all. And so, but the devil knows what your weakness is. And he knows what it's going to take. Maybe you were always told in life, you're stupid, you're not going to make it. You know, that you're weak, you're whatever. And so when you come into a situation that's a confrontational situation or a mountain that's in front of you, well, then you go introverted and you're like, oh, you know, I don't know what to do. And I knew I shouldn't have done this. And I don't want to try this. And you start to back up like this. And, you know, so y'all don't get mad at me. I'm just, this thought just came to me, you know. So the devil just pulls a number 26 on you and says, man, let's go get a box of Twinkies and eat them. And so you're all, because you're all just, you know, y'all in despair and discouraged and so depressed. And so you just go get a box of Twinkies and eat the whole box of Twinkies. And then as soon as you finished eating the whole box of Twinkies, he says to you, oh, you're such a pig. What's the matter with you? And so then he pulled a 17 on you, you know. So now the number 17's working along with the 26 and says, look at you. And so you're just like, oh, I can't believe I ate the box of Twinkies. You see, he's got it figured out. He's got it figured out. And so when he comes to you and says, if you're the Son of God, you know, no. You've got to get smart. If you're going to really be a servant of God, you've got to get smart and catch him at what his action and his temptation before it gets in play. So you can stop and say, oh, number 17 ain't going to work on me today, Bubba. Matter of fact, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm walking as a servant of God today. I'm not listening to your garbage. I hear the word of God saying over my life that I am a blessed child of God. Born again, washed in his blood. It says that the blessings of the God are on my left hand and the blessings of the God are on my right hand. That I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field and I'm blessed wherever I go. So you just forget it. Okay, he got defeated because the Bible says if you resist the devil, then he'll flee from you. Why did Jesus quote the word to the devil? Do you realize Jesus quoted the word to the devil? Then all of a sudden it stopped. Okay, because see, he doesn't want you to function as the servant you're called to function in, because you may bless somebody that day, help them on their road to know Jesus more. And if you do that, then the devil loses and God gains. So he's got to keep you tripped up. Good preaching. The whole key to it is that we've got to figure it out before it happens, before the number 17 gets pulled on us, before we've ate the box of Twinkies and it's already in play. But you know the good news is, if we just become aware of it, we can at least stop, repent, and say, God, I'm sorry I ate the whole box of Twinkies. Dear Lord in heaven, forgive me for that, and start over. That's the glory of Jesus and his blood washing us. And then get smarter. Listen to me. I didn't figure this out the first week I got saved. I remember wrestling through all of this, trying to come to the, you know, we're at that time we were living actually up Highway 127 towards Con Canyon. We were driving all the way up to Utopia. And I remember we'd gotten saved. We're all excited about it, coming to church. And it was like everything was going good. And we were just in this little glory grace period. And then all of a sudden, it seems like the grace period wore off. And I had to get down to really kind of learn the word and do what was, I was supposed to do. And I remember one morning we got up and I was trying to help, get the kids ready and get everything going to come up here to church. And went in there, put the toast in the toaster. That sucker caught on fire, man. I'm talking about blazing thing. I had to grab it by the cord and throw it outside, And thing was on fire. And then we went over to turn the dryer on to fluff some clothes up, and that sucker wouldn't work either. Just smoked right there. And I'm like, my Lord, all we want to do is go to church, and now we lost the toaster and we lost the dryer. This is ridiculous. Went outside, flat on the car. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I guarantee you, I'm mad now. We're going to go to church. I said, I ain't quitting now. If they're going to fight me this hard to get to church, by God, we're going to church. I don't care if we're late. I don't care if we get there. And the last amen is said, and we're filthy dirty from changing this flat. We're going to get there. I said, man, he made me mad. Boy, we're going to fight over this. So I got the tire changed and got it on there, and we jumped in the car, went down the road. Listen, I am not lying to you. My wife can verify this is the truth. Went down the road. We had some horses that were on the property. They were out. Had to stop, get the horses back in. We get down the road. A buzzard from hell comes from nowhere out of the sky, crashes into the windshield of the car and cracks it. I said, man, we're going. I said, I just put your seatbelt on because, man, this is going to be a rough ride, but we are going to get to church. Setting sail down the road, I'm looking for everything. I'm looking for things up in the sky now because the buzzards are coming at me. A big old hog runs across the road. I missed it. Thank the Lord, because I was watching. And I said, we got her beat now, man. Can't be too much more. We're just a few miles from the church. Slid up at the doors of the church. Man, we made it, dear God. Fought the biggest major battle we've ever fought in life, but we're here. At any moment on that road, I could have just blown up, gone. I could have kicked the side of the car, beat the buzzard, shot the horses. Stayed home and said, we're never going to go to church again. And I remember we fought it like that. It was like there was a period of time that it was like every animal was demon possessed and trying to kill us to keep us from getting to church. But man, we just kept plowing them over, bought a bigger grill guard. Said, I'm going to church, man. Fought through the thing to get to the house of the Lord so God could speak to us because we knew it was the truth. Well, that's what the devil wants to do to you every day, but he wants to get you sidetracked. He wants to get you off because he wants you to not know who you are. And you're VIPs. You're the ones that are going to change this world. You're the ones that have the destiny on the inside of you, that creative power of God to walk into somebody's life and to speak to them and get them on the right track. It's you. It's you. Now, so the devil, he tempted Jesus. Let me just read one more scripture. Go to Luke 22, 31. Let me back this up just a little bit more. So if anybody out there has any doubt. In Luke 22, 31, Jesus speaks to Peter and he says to him, then the devil left him. No, that's not it. And the Lord said, no, Luke 22, 31 is it. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brother. I mean, wouldn't Jesus to say, yeah, the devil wanted you, but I have loosed a legion of angels to come and to deliver you. Now, wouldn't you like to have heard that? Not, oh, Peter, the devil's coming to sift you like wheat. Now, sift you like wheat means that you were a wheat seed, got crushed, ground, turned into powder, and sifted out through the sifter. Which I remember my mama, she used to have to sift flour. I don't know if flour wasn't as good back then, or I don't know what the deal was. But we had that, what was it, huh? You still do? Okay, well, I guess I'm just not around flour sifters. But anyway. I remember seeing her put that thing in that can and you had the little deal and none of that sounds like fun if you're going through it. Hello? And Jesus said, he wants to sift you as wheat, but don't worry, I've prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail. I said, come on, Jesus, give me some more than that. I mean, Jesus was having a conversation with Beelzebub himself. And he says, I'm just going to pray for you, Peter, that your faith won't fail. It's like, no, take him out. Angel, Lord, sword, something. Why? Because you're the creator. And your faith is what's going to sustain you, and your faith is what's going to take you through it, and your faith looking into that situation and speaking into that situation is what is going to change your life. It's you that's the creator, not the devil. Don't give him the glory for that. Don't give him the ability for that. Don't give him the power for that. What do you think? Second thing is, you have to understand, okay? You have to understand who you are. The second thing is, you have to understand whose you are. You think God doesn't care about you? You think God was willing to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, and then he doesn't care about you? You don't think God doesn't know when your heart's hurting? He says he knows how many hairs you have on your head. I mean, that's got to take a momentary count. Right? You think it's wrong? You think it's just a metaphor? Oh, that's just a metaphor of whatever, God's love. It doesn't really mean. I think he's counting hairs. I don't think he'd have it written in there if he wasn't. He says that if he's worried about a sparrow, how much more is he going to be worrying about you? You know, I don't mind admitting this, that I like to, I'm not a big bird watcher, but I've gotten to where the older I get, I guess, the more aware I become of my surroundings. And I started just noticing this different seasons changing around, the different birds coming in. And so I bought a book on birds so that I could get smarter. I mean, you know the typical birds. You know a dove and a quail. But I wanted to, you know, broaden my horizons a little bit. And the other day, I was unloading some feed at my house, and all of a sudden I heard this whistle. And you know, this bird. And I mean, I heard it, and I just had to stop. And I was like, I have never heard that whistle before. And then I listened to it, and it whistled. And so I went in to go look at the bird book because I didn't know I couldn't see it. I could just hear it. And so I went in there, and my wife had heard it. And so she'd taken the phone and actually recorded it so she could hear the whistle. The point I'm trying to say here is that that bird had been everywhere, all over the place, probably been in my yard, you know, years previous and whatever. I never noticed it till that day. Why? Because I was starting to listen for it. I was starting to look at birds, and all of a sudden I was starting to get myself attuned to hearing different things. Folks, listen to me. If you don't know who God is, well then, see, you're missing it, because every day he's trying to talk to you. Every day he's trying to speak to you. Every day he's trying to bring something into your life. You have to know whose you are. You have to know how much God loves you. He said, well, I mean, why would he love me? I'm just, you know, lop-eared galoot. I don't know. You know, God loves lop-eared galoots. Y'all with me? He loves you, and you got to know who he is. When the Apostle Paul was on the boat before they went over to the island of Malta and crashed and went over there in the boat in Acts chapter 27, he says, the angel of the Lord came and stood by me tonight. And he's the angel of the Lord of God, in whom I serve and whose I am. Paul knew who he was, and he knew who God was. It's the same with you, church. The devil is going to defeat you because, see, he came to Jesus and he tempted him, and he says, took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and says, yeah, you know, if you're the son of God, God said he would. You could throw yourself down and you know, you wouldn't die. You see, the devil, if he can't get you to defeat yourself right off the bat by just not knowing who you are, the next thing he's going to do is, see, God didn't really answer your prayer. See, God was not really a healer. See, God really isn't going to help that situation. See, God isn't going to do that. Listen to me. He's going to bring everything up. I remember it wasn't until years went by when I first started serving the Lord that I just said, Lord, I just have to believe what your word says is true. And no matter whatever else goes on and no matter what else happens, I just have to believe that what you said in your word is true. And if you said by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, then you're a healer. And I may not understand everything, but I'm just going to have to walk in. I'm just going to be oblivious. Everybody can just look at me and say, you're such an idiot because you don't believe. And I say, because you believe that and God's not really doing that. And I say, it's what the Bible says. I just got to believe it. Believe it's true. We're not applying it right. We're not doing something right. Something's not right, but it can't be a fault on God's part. And I just had to take that stance to walk through all the situations that I've had to walk through in life. To just say, that's just the way it is. I don't know. I don't know what that's what the word says. That's what I want to believe. I'm going to believe that what the Bible says about my God is true. And I'm going to read the Bible for myself, and I'm going to go from front to back and front to back and front to back and front to back and front to back, and front to back, and front to back as many times as I can in life so that I understand who this God is. Y'all with me? But that's the second thing the devil's going to come to you. He's going to either try to stump you from believing who you are, or he's going to try to get you to doubt who God is. And all I can tell you, church, you cannot defeat that unless you know who God is. You grab hold of it. You get the word in you and stand there and say, no, this is what the Bible says and this is what God is. I don't know what's going on, but this is what I believe. And though the world may scream at you, though the world may just come about you and say that you're a fool and you're an idiot for believing that, you say, well, I guess I am. Right now, more than ever, we have the world screaming at Christians that you are bad people because you won't accept everything. You trying to tell me that that's not just the world, the devil, using a way to speak to us to try to get us to believe that God's word is really not true? It can be bent. You watch. The days are coming that to be a Christian is going to be a dangerous thing. Well, I don't know what I'm talking about. Let me rephrase that. In America, add that to it. Already all over the world, 100,000 Christians die every month in the world. I believe it's the last stat I looked at. 100,000 Christians a month die in the world because of being a Christian, because of persecution. We just don't see it here in America. We're still arguing about being Methodist or Baptist or whatever, you know. We got to the point to where we're... Okay. So, the third temptation that the devil gave Jesus, okay, first, it's who you are. Second is who God is, okay? And the third, if he doesn't get you on both of those, okay, if he hasn't got you just to eat the box of Twinkies and pull into your hole, or hasn't got you to start doubting that God would do anything for you, then the third thing is he comes to you, and I'm just going to call it this, bling, bling. Everybody say bling, bling. Because he said, look, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and all that you see if you'll just bow down and worship me. The third area is if you can't pull the number 17 on you eating the box of Twinkies, and he can't pull the number, you know, let's just call it the number 52 to doubting God, then he's going to have to pull out the old next trick book, lie book to you, and it's going to be bling bling. And the bling bling is he's going to try to flash things in front of you to get you, you know, the bug going to the light. Just, you're just out there like, oh yeah, I really need a new car. I don't think anything else in life I can have, but I want a new car. And you're like a zombie drawn into this situation to where you're enthralled in this whole thing, and that's all that's wrapping you up in life, that you've got to reach to that place. I mean, you know, we're... We are sort of like trained monkeys, you know. the trainer tries to get us to do stuff with the food, and then he tries to do this, and finally he's got the little jingle. He's, you know, he finally, he can't get you to do what he wants, and so he pulls out the little trinket. Hey, come here. Here you go. And we're like, yes, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship him. I do believe in you, Jesus. And you, what is that? I like that little dangly thing over there. Have you ever noticed with kids, you know, kid gets acting up, gets a squall and whatever, you can get your keys out. And, you know, we used to until they had a key like this thing, you know. But when you had keys, you just went, ching, 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 ching. That's kind of the way we are. So the third thing the devil's going to do to try to get you not to be a servant, not to walk in the things of God, is he's going to throw some bling bling at you. He's going to dingle, jingle, 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 and you're going to go, oh. Now you're distracted. Now you're looking over here at whatever he's dingled in front of you, whatever the bling bling is that's got you off. And now you're off over there looking at the bling bling. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with believing God for nice things. But I'm saying, if it becomes the obsession, it becomes the impulse, it's all you can think about. If your work becomes your God and all you can do is serve work and serve God and you don't see anybody around you during your work day that you're supposed to be helping, well, then you've missed it. Okay? It doesn't necessarily mean spending money or wanting to get money. It's whatever distracts you from the goal. And with all of us, we've got different weaknesses. Like, I've never desired to go into a store and shop for a purse. So the devil's not going to put bling bling in a purse for him out there. I'll never forget this, man. This is one of the greatest moments of my life, something that I will always remember, that Brother Ivan came here to preach. He'll love me for telling this. He came here to preach, and we brought him up, and I went and got him in my truck, and Grant happened to be here out, standing outside when we drove up. And we drive up, and when Ivan got into the truck, I noticed he had this... You know, it was a questionable bag that he had with him. As far as manly terms go, it was fringe. It was right on the border, but I loved him enough, I wasn't going to say anything about it, that I thought his bag was sissy. And so I was just like, ah, well, you know, he'll just be here for a few days and be gone anyway, so I won't have to worry about this. And so... we get out of the truck, and we're walking up, and Ivan's got some stuff in his hand, and Grant says, here, here, let me get your purse for you. And then he slung it up on his shoulder, and he kind of walked in with it, you know, and said, ah, that's nice, it's good. Well, Ivan got quiet, he didn't say anything. And then later he told me, he says, I can't believe that. He says, you know, I really like that bag, and he says, I can never... ever take it with me again. He says, y'all ruined it. I had to come out here to you bunch of redneck cowboys out here, and you ruined my man purse, you know? And I said, man, you want to carry a man purse, you can go ahead, but it's sissy, boy. I tell you, it's sissy. And I told him, I said, don't even think about a fanny pack. I don't care what you got in there. I said, I don't care if there's kryptonite in there. You know, Holy Ghost kryptonite, do not come into the church with a fanny pack, all right? So there's certain things that bling bling is not going to attract other people, just like all the other things. The devil knows how to push your button. So you get too focused in work, or you get too focused in trying to achieve a goal or whatever, and you're missing your servanthood around you. That's where the mistake is. You see? And the devil's going to use one of those three things. He's going to either try to get you to not believe in yourself, get you not to believe in God, or just throw some bling bling out there to get you off track. That's your day. I'm not talking about this is your life. This is your day. Your daily, everyday battle you got to walk through if you want to be a servant of God. If you just want to be a servant of yourself, just eat the box of Twinkies and go on. But the day that you need God, you know, you're not going to know Him. The day that you get yourself in trouble and you need God, You're not going to know him because you never built a relationship with him. Hello. Come on, tell me it's good preaching. All right? So, let me just leave you with this because I'm running late this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 33. Let me just read the story. Story of the Good Samaritan. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he bandaged his wounds, he poured oil on him, he set him on his animal, he brought him to the inn, took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, for whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you." The story of the Good Samaritan is simply who we are as a servant in life. The guy wasn't looking. He didn't get up that morning and say, "Oh, I hope I find somebody beat up and bleeding by the road." He was just going that direction. And that's what came across him, a bleeding, beat up guy on the side of the road. Okay? Your day doesn't have to be when you get up, you just got to realize you're going to run across these adventures in your journey, in your walk with Jesus. You're on this journey, you're going to run across people that are beat up on the side of the road. You're going to run across situations and circumstances that day that God wants you to do His will, not your will, which is help that person. And like I said, it may be a handshake, it may be a smile, it may be a pat on the back, maybe, "Brother, I'm praying for you." It may be prayer. It may be giving them the gospel. It may be handing them a Bible. It may be quoting a scripture to them. I don't know. I'm not going to be in that situation. You're going to be in that situation. But you just have to be sensitive to what God wants you to do. Hello? That's your day. But in order to get to the beat up person on the side of the road, you got to get through these three things. Believing in who you are, believing in who God is, and getting rid of the bling bling that's going to get you sidetracked. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. Because I really believe with all of my heart that you guys are great servants of God. I'll be honest with you. As a pastor of this church, I can't say a whole lot because I'm just about as redneck as all of us. But, you know, we may not be the most tactful people in the world. You know, there's probably people that have a lot more tact than we do. People that know what fork to use and all that kind of stuff like that. People that maybe drive better cars than we do. People that maybe dress better than we do. But it's one thing I've always known about all of us country people, right, is you do have love in you. It may be sometimes a tough love. It may be some kind of a gruff love. But, you know, you give that sack of tomatoes away. You're sharing, you're helping, you're willing to reach out. And I want to say something that's a godly, godly, godly thing. Because there's a lot of world doesn't care about people. And you do. And you're really awesome. You're amazing. And I really believe with this message and what God's saying about our church and what's going on in this community is that when you find your niche, when you find, you know, your journey in life, and some of you are already setting your journey in life. Bill, you're probably not going to change your occupation now at this point of life. You're probably not going to tell Linnell, I think I want to go back to school and become an accountant. The point I'm saying is that his walk and he's in right now is his ministry, is his walk. The walk you're in right now, it is your walk. It is your life. It is your ministry. And who you run across that day, beat up on the side of the road, is the person you're supposed to minister to. Just don't let the devil defeat you, defeat who you believe God is, and do the bling bling to you. Amen? Stand to your feet, please. I just want to pray for you because I believe you guys are awesome. I believe you guys are. It's just my prayer that I'm going to pray over you. If your heart's open to this, you can just grab it. That we all just become more aware, right? We see the enemy's dart before it comes and we can, you know, so that you don't have to walk through all the got the number 46 pulled on you, and then you had to go repent for 3 days to get past it, all right? So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just pray over every person here. Pray over all those listening and all those watching today. Lord, that the power of this message, because it's your word going to them, would set us free, just like the tempter came to Jesus and tempted him, Lord, and then he defeated it with your word. I declare that everyone in here today is the same way. That when the tempter comes, when the devil comes into our lives to tempt us and not to destroy who we are or who we're believing in you, God, or throwing some bling bling in front of us, that Lord, that he is defeated because we defeat him with the word. We're the creators in the bunch, not the devil. And we're going to create blessings for our life. We're going to speak the word of God. We're going to be in there standing upon the word of God, believing you. And so, Lord, I just declare over every person here that we're free from the traps of the enemy. We're free from the lies of the enemy. We're free, Lord God, to be who you called us to be. We're free to just trust in you in everything and to speak your word on this earth. And, Lord, I praise you for it. I thank you for it. Now, Father, I thank you, all of those that are out there that are listening or watching today, that they don't know you, if their hearts are far away from you, that their hearts are going to turn to you and they're going to cry out for you. Because Jesus, you said that any man that calls out upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you for that. And so, Lord, today we go out as your servants into this world. And we just declare that we're going to walk in those blessings of God. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, church, before I just totally dismiss you, can I have a prayer team come down? If you're here this morning and you need prayer, you want some special time to just have some time to pray in the ministry, we're here for you. I don't want you to get discouraged. I don't want you to leave here discouraged. I want you to leave here blessed and encouraged. Now, look at that person beside you and says, "Hello, servant of God." Look at the person on the other side of you and say, "Hey, watch the bling bling." Now grab that person's hand beside you. Lord, we just bless the person on our left and our right and thank you that as we go out into this world, we're going to go out in power. We're going to go out in faith. And Lord, we thank you for it that you are with us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're here up front if you need prayer. Go get them.